Well, this is absolutely wild. It's scandalous, and we need to take it very seriously. The rector of St. Andrews University, Stella Maris, the second black female rector there, has been dismissed from key roles. And the reason for this is an email she sent last November calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and condemning Israel for its crimes. Now, this decision comes after what is described as an independent investigation, which found she had made some St. Andrews students fear for their safety, and by her actions and her activities breached her responsibilities and legal obligations as a member of the Court of St. Andrews. Quite the allegations. I would say exceptionally serious allegations. But it must have been quite the inflammatory email. Let's have a look, shall we? On the 21st of November, Maris, the rector, an elected position, very important to just note this, an elected unpaid position, said a vigil had been held at the university following weeks of genocidal attacks by the Israeli government against Gaza. She added, "We must continue to recognise and condemn acts that are internationally regarded as humanitarian and war crimes. These include practices such as apartheid, siege, illegal occupation, collective punishment, which have been observed in the treatment of Palestinians." Also, very importantly, she said, "It is also crucial to acknowledge and denounce the actions by Hamas that qualify as war crimes, notably the taking of hostages and deliberately targeting civilians, which I have and continue to do." Now, in response, an open letter from certain students, alumni and their families was circulated asking her to retract her remarks or to resign. It said, "Sadly, your words were not unifying but divisive, not clarifying but misleading, not hopeful but damaging, and unfortunately will only bring division and hatred whilst reinforcing a certain narrative that drives violent anti-Semitism across the world." Now, the next sentence, well, all I can say is the absolute front of the people who signed this letter. It said, "We are concerned that your letter does not demonstrate equal care for Palestinian and Israeli lives." Let's be clear. The real crime of those who have been demonised, hounded, victimised, silenced since this horror began has been to treat Palestinians as though their life is of equal worth. How dare these people? How dare they accuse others of not demonstrating equal care for human life? The rector rightly condemned the war crimes committed on the 7th of October, in which over 1,200, overwhelmingly Israeli, some foreign residents, citizens as well, were killed, including over 800 civilians and 36 children. By the time she wrote those words, around 14,000 Palestinians had been killed, around 6,000 children had been killed, with that overall death count likely, even back then, that was last November, it's now August, likely to be a significant underestimate because, for example, excluded those classified as missing, including thousands buried under rubble, those killed by indirect causes, which tend to be the primary cause of death overall in war, problems with underreporting deaths during an unprecedented all-out military assault, we could go on. The point, too, is that the massacre she rightly condemned of Israeli civilians happened on 7th of October. The massacre of Palestinians was happening at the time she was writing and is happening every single day in Gaza. She was describing an ongoing massacre, which, unlike 7th of October, was and is being directly facilitated, supported and armed by her government. We note the British government has still failed to end arms sales to Israel. A massacre that was and indeed is possible to stop by virtue of being ongoing. Indeed, since then, likely many tens of thousands of Palestinians have been killed. And I'm sorry to say this, many more Palestinians to be killed yet to come. She rightly spoke of the ongoing massacre of Palestinians, which remains within our power to do something about, whilst rightly condemning the massacre of Israeli civilians, which took place on the 7th of October. Now, the statement from the Court of the University of St. Andrews discharged the rector, Stella Maris, from the role of president of court and as charity trustee. As I say, they state this independent investigation found the following. The rector was entitled to free speech, but had exercised poor judgment in the manner in which she wrote to all students to give her personal opinions on the conflict, specifically ignoring the possibility that her words from a position of leadership could encourage anti-Semitic behaviour by others. Reactions to the statement from the student body were divided. Some students, especially some Jewish students, were very distressed and angry and feared for their safety, while other students felt validated and heard. The rector's subsequent actions on social media fell below the standards required of a court member and inflamed tensions, it says. Now, let's take on this point about how her statement could encourage anti-Semitic behaviour. Firstly, what is the factual objection to what she said? We're talking about facts here. She denounced acts committed, genocidal acts committed by the Israeli state, and acts internationally regarded as humanitarian and war crimes. Now, firstly, there was a case at the International Court of Justice, the highest court on earth, lodged by South Africa, alleging Israel has committing and is committing genocide. It has contravened the Genocide Convention of 1948. Now, the court had two main options. It could dismiss the case, it did not do so, or to place Israel essentially on trial. Accepting that South Africa had a plausible case that Israel has violated the Genocide Convention of 1948, which the State of Israel passed into law 2 years later. The president of the International Court of Justice earlier this year declared, all the indicators of genocidal activities are flashing red in Gaza. On top of that, there are numerous lawyers, experts, scholars, specialists who believe that genocide is taking place. Take, for example, Raz Segal, the Israeli-American associate professor of Holocaust and Genocide Studies. I've interviewed him twice. And the evidence for the position taken by a whole range of scholars, lawyers, experts, is based on the countless examples of genocidal statements of intent, which legally speaking Israel has to punish. That's just one of the five crimes under the Genocide Convention. One of them is public incitement of genocide. And also, they're legally obliged to punish those statements of intent and incitement because of the ICJ's provisional rulings earlier this year. Statements of intent, incitement made by Israeli ministers, politicians, army officers and generals, soldiers, media outlets, public figures. Enough by this point to fill a book. Now, plus the mass slaughter of tens of thousands of Palestinians and the total, almost unprecedented obliteration which Gaza has experienced. They've concluded, based on all that, this is genocide. Now, for those dissenting, I'm afraid that what that means is you have to accept that believing genocide is taking place is a legitimate opinion, where there is a huge amount of evidence to support that position. Which, for example, if you were in a university and a student or academic, you could present a very compelling and legitimate argument, for example, in an essay. Now, as for what she said about practices such as apartheid, siege, illegal occupation, collective punishment, which have been observed in the treatment of Palestinians, the International Court of Justice, again, the world's top court, has just issued a ruling which condemns Israel for, A, its illegal occupation, and it was the most damning possible verdict about Israel's illegal occupation possible, the longest belligerent occupation in modern history, it should be noted. It also, B, damned Israel for being guilty of the crime of apartheid. That is the legal ruling of the top court on earth. That is how the top court on earth understands international law. Now, as for condemning siege and collective punishment, the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court has submitted requests for arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and his defence minister, Yoav Gallant, for alleged war crimes and crimes against humanity. Those requests centre on what is described as the imposition of a total siege over Gaza, that this total siege was part of a common plan to use starvation as a method of war and other acts of violence against the Gazan civilian population. And one of the reasons for doing so, it said, was to collectively punish the civilian population of Gaza, whom they perceived as a threat to Israel. That request was specifically backed up by a panel of top lawyers, and indeed, there are an overwhelming number of legal specialists in this area who hold the view that Israel has committed a whole host of war crimes. And frankly, at this point, if you don't believe that, you should be treated as a contemptible atrocity denier. Now, some might say, well, this independent report into this rector has been put together by a lawyer. So this is an independent report put together by a lawyer, by someone called Morag Ross KC. And they might go, look, Owen, mate, she's a lawyer here. Who the hell are you? Where's your expertise? Who to believe, this Scottish lawyer or some gobby left-wing writer with an agenda? Well, firstly, it's quite difficult to judge the legal prowess of Morag Ross because there's not very much about her. I'm sure fascinating achievements on the internet. If you want to Google, please do. Help me out here. Let's see what she's done. Though I read she has served as a standing junior to Scottish ministers, became a KC in 2016, has played a central role in responding to government attempts to reform the regulation of the legal profession in Scotland. Well, I guess the question here is who to defer to on the question of Israel's war crimes. Morag Ross KC, who specialises in the legal regulation of the Scottish bar. A fascinating topic, I'm sure, don't get me wrong. Or the world's top court, top judges, and the International Court's chief prosecutor and his panel of top lawyers, eminent legal scholars, as well as specialists, academics, other scholars all over the world. It's a toughie, isn't it? It's a tough one. What do you think, Morag Ross KC, deep down? Now look, Morag Ross KC, you're go-to expert, do give a call on the reform of the regulation of the Scottish legal profession. Now, she might go, well, that's unfair. Come on now. My job wasn't to adjudicate on whether or not war crimes or genocide had been committed by Israel. Yes, I take your point. I know I'm just kind of inventing a conversation here with Morag Ross Casey, but, you know, hypothetically, if that's what you're going to say, you're right, true. But the point here is actually about whether the rector, what she said, was a legitimate, defensible, and indeed evidence perspective. And given the position of, no offence, the infinitely more qualified legal specialists than Morag Ross KC, specialist on all things related to regulations governing Scottish lawyers. The point is, these are, suck it up, legitimate views. Now, the report by Morag Ross variously says there's a clear tension between forceful criticism of the Israeli position, including the use of the terms genocide and apartheid, and the rector's stated objective to emphasise that people must come together and that all forms of bigotry and hatred are to be condemned, and that peace is the goal. What does this mean exactly? Would she have said the same about Russian war crimes in Ukraine? After all, the Russian state and its apologists have repeatedly accused their critics of Russophobia. The scale of the atrocities being committed by the Israeli state are such that there is a broad legal consensus that serious war crimes and crimes against humanity are being committed by the Israeli state. How is stating the truth about atrocities committed against civilians en masse, and indeed calling for a ceasefire, undermining, condemning all forms of bigotry and ensuring peace? In, I would say, the tradition of all that has been said since this horror began, talk about Orwellian, talk about turning the world upside down. What you need to do here, sorry, Casey, Morag Ross, to suggest, you know, what you could have done with your job, is respect, which we'll come on to, a strict demarcation between what the state of Israel does and the Jewish community, including the Jewish community here in Britain and Jewish students at St. Andrews. In the same way, you would not say, I would hope, that critiquing the Russian state is risking whipping up or legitimising hatred against Russian people as a whole. Now, the KC even said that calling for a ceasefire is controversial. According to whom? It's been the overwhelming consensus in British opinion all the way through this horror. I'd note, in mid-October, not long after 7th of October, the polling showed over half the population said they definitely supported an immediate ceasefire. Another 16% or so said they probably did. Do you know how many people said three? Do you know how many people said? Well, I just gave away that. Do you know how many people said that they definitely opposed an immediate ceasefire in mid-October? 3%, which is similar. It's about the same as the percentage of the population who believe the Earth is flat. Now, I would note, given St. Andrews is a Scottish university, a ceasefire was the official position of the elected Scottish government in October, weeks before the rector made this statement. How can this esteemed KC plausibly say that echoing the official position of her own government and the overwhelming view of Scottish and British public opinion is controversial? No. What should be rightly deemed controversial, KC, is using overwhelming power, including the equivalent of several Hiroshima bombs in an area the size of East London, to incinerate tens of thousands of people, including cooking children and babies under rubble, who are slowly suffocated and burned to death, one or the other, or both. Or, I don't know, supporting an onslaught which leads to newborn babies having their limbs amputated without anaesthetic. Or, I don't know, starving an entire population until they die as their internal organs are digested by their emaciated bodies. Or, I don't know, the fact that the entire healthcare system has been obliterated, imposing a daily death sentence on everyone from cancer patients to pregnant women. Do you know what? I actually think, just in terms of the mass obliteration of Gaza, the mass slaughter of tens of thousands of people, including some academics believe that already a large chunk of Gaza's population has been violently exterminated. Why isn't that the controversial view? Why is opposing that, when that's actually the overwhelming view of British public and Scottish public opinion, and indeed the Scottish government, why is that controversial? The world turned on its head. Madness. Now, just a point, just to emphasise this. According to the latest poll by YouGov, 68% of Britons believe there should be an immediate ceasefire, with 13%, the controversial view, supporting Israel's continued onslaught. And even when she wrote this email, 59% backed a ceasefire, 19% supported a continued onslaught overall. Now, the same poll found 70% believe Israel has committed war crimes. 70% of the British public. I mean, there's a chunk who don't know. The vast majority of the British public believe Israel has committed war crimes. People who don't think that are farcically deluded and apologists for atrocities. I mean, we should just be clear. They're the ones who should be... They're the ones who should be answering questions. They're the ones who should be resigning. They're the ones who should be stripped of their jobs, if anyone should hear. People who actually support mass violence and who justify and deny war crimes. 54% of the population believe that the ICC should issue arrest warrants against Benjamin Netanyahu. Do you know how many percent? Do you know what percentage of the British population oppose issuing an arrest warrant? Arresting Netanyahu? 15%. That is a fringe view. Let's just be clear. That is a fringe opinion. Over half the population believe Netanyahu should be arrested by our police forces if he steps on UK soil. That's what YouGov says. Now, this part is truly outrageous. The KC draws a conclusion that there is room for an argument that the rector's statement might directly or indirectly encourage the expression of anti-Semitism by others simply because there is the possibility that people interpret and misinterpret language all the time. She further draws a conclusion that it was reasonable to think that Miss Maris's statement was bound to contribute to an increase in anti-Semitic activity in St. Andrews. What, excuse me, what is being argued here, let's just be clear, is the trashing of the demarcation, which should be a sacred demarcation, between the Israeli state, the war crimes committed by the Israeli state, and the Jewish people, including the Jewish people who live here, British Jewish people, Jewish Scots. Now, look, the official position on anti-Semitism adopted by the British government, amongst others, the IHRA definition, has proven deeply controversial because of two of the examples, which many argue stifle free speech on the question of Israel and Palestine. But there is the final example included in this definition is one everyone who opposes anti-Semitism should agree on. It says holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel is anti-Semitism. That is absolutely true. Absolutely incontrovertibly true. If you attack Jewish people for what the state of Israel is doing, then you are being anti-Semitic. And that, by definition, cuts both ways. The implication being made by this KC is that criticising the state, the actions of the state of Israel may threaten the safety and security of Jewish students. And to be clear, it is all of our responsibility to make sure that does not happen. How does the KC not see that she's made that harder by making a direct link between holding the Israeli state accountable for its war crimes and the security of Jewish students? Now, the report literally suggests that the statement, although is not itself anti-Semitic, risks generating anti-Semitic sentiment. By that standard, what's she saying? You can't say anything about the state of Israel because nefarious racist actors will manipulate what you say. Is that seriously where we're at? Well, where else does she want to go with that? I mean, if I condemn the Saudi dictatorship for beheading gay people and beheading dissidents, that could be taken up by Islamophobes, no question. They absolutely could run with that. But would you think that's a legitimate reason for saying that I shouldn't denounce the Saudi regime and its human rights abuses? Or would you say that actually the correct position is that you should absolutely condemn the heinous human rights abuses committed by the Saudi regime and stand unequivocally against Islamophobia and an attempt to collectively blame Muslim people as a whole for what the Saudi dictatorship does in the name of Islam? Now, strikingly, the KC said dismissal would not be a proportionate response. Now, to be clear, the rector has an unpaid role. She's there to be a voice of students, and it's her contention, in line with what we know of the polling of public opinion, that she reflects the view of an overwhelming majority of students. And in a statement, she notes the legal rulings that I've cited. The university court dismissed her from her roles because, while allowing her to keep her title, because she refused to accept the conclusion of this investigation. Well, good, absolutely correct. I'm glad she did that. She should not back down. Actually, I'd have been pretty angry if she had. It would not only be ludicrous to back down, it would be dangerous, because there is a deliberate attempt to stifle and silence voices speaking out against one of the worst horrors of our time. If she gave in, that would strengthen that attempt. The rector also says, the university gave me no opportunity to present my case or to have someone represent me in the discussions that led to this decision. For reasons that only the court will be able to explain, the university has chosen to go further than the report written by Morag Ross, which I believe is biased, but which explicitly falls short of calling for the removal of my trustee status. Well, this is a total farce. Remember all those free speech warriors who said, free speech, threatened on campus. Remember them? Well, they've gone awfully quiet, haven't they? I say quiet, they're often the ones leading this witch hunt. After trying to get answers from the University of St. Andrews, who seemed completely unprepared for the firestorm, which were rightly ignited by this outrageous decision, dragging a young black woman through the mud for opposing war crimes and genocide and apartheid with the overwhelming evidence which she can cite to justify a position. Well, anyway, a university court spokesperson gave me this following statement. The university court's decision has no bearing on the rector's freedom of speech, which has been acknowledged by the court at every stage. We have engaged extensively with Ms. Maris in recent months, but were unfortunately unable to agree on fundamental issues of university and charity governance. It is important to stress that Ms. Maris remains rector of University of St. Andrews until the end of her term in 2026, and we will continue to provide whatever assistance she requires to undertake that role. Well, I'll let you decide what to make of that, given the arguments I have presented. There has long been an attempt to drive from public life anyone who sympathises with the Palestinian people. And since the 7th of October, rocket boosters have been placed under that campaign. Well, let's be clear. We are talking about one of the great crimes of our age. I believe anyone with a public platform has a responsibility to speak out about crimes committed in their name with the active complicity of their own government. There have been many outrageous attempts to silence those speaking out, and this really is outrageous. It must not be allowed to stand. The University of St. Andrews must not get away with this. The rector is appealing. Good. Her appeal must be supported. A line has to be drawn in the sand here, because if they get away with this, it will embolden others to do the same. And that's not acceptable. Please like and subscribe. Do leave your comments. Do leave your thoughts. Keep the show on the road as ever at patreon.com/MJ84. Listen to the podcast, which we're finally updating properly. Speak to you soon.